Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards. Save big money
at The Burt Show.
All right, if you're cruising around with kids in a car, let's say you're saying you're listening to this during the podcast version, because all of our segments are uploaded and you can catch the entire show on demand. So let's say you're cruising around, you got kids in the car right now, and you're listening on the podcast. We're going to talk about the sex.
Kid warning.
We're going to talk about the sex quite a bit here. Go for it, Cass.
So I have a friend who's been dating a guy for, like, I think it's between 7 months and a year. I forget. But she is blonde haired, blue eyed, very pale. And that is important to note. Okay.
Okay.
All right. One more time on that.
Blonde hair, blue eyes, very pale.
This story is not about me, by the way.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not about Abby.
You got a little pigment in there. I see it.
Sure.
Yeah. You got a little bit of a tan. So her boyfriend suggested to spice things up and keep things going, they start role playing, which my friend was like, okay, I'm in. That could be fun. Uh-huh. We'll meet at a bar, pretend we're strangers.
Okay.
I could never do that with a straight face. I would ruin it so bad.
Really?
Oh, my God. I don't think I could follow through.
I'd be nervous that the person I'm role-playing with, if they come into a bar and sat next to me, I would mess it up, and then she'd just walk out.
They reject you?
Yeah, even though it's like my wife.
I don't think I could do it with a straight face either.
Well, I think the relationship is still newish, so she's down. They're still kind of in the honeymoon phase, and she's very much infatuated. So she told me they did it a couple of times, and it went really, really well, which I'm like, that's great. You guys have found something that works together.
So he gets to the bar. She gets ready by herself and shows up, and they just show up to the bar together, and then they start hitting it off. Uh-huh. Like they don't know each other.
And they've done different scenarios where he's picked her up or she's hit on him, that sort of thing. And I'm like, that is whatever floats your boat, that's great.
I kind of like this idea.
Spice it up.
Yeah.
So then he took it a step further, and he suggested that she really get into character more and wear a wig.
Oh.
Okay.
And so she said, okay, it's been great so far. Why not? So he bought the wig, and it's a brunette wig. Which she was she's like, okay, like it's a different character. That's fine.
All right, is she blonde? You said blonde.
She's
right?
Blonde.
Okay.
It's a brunette wig.
Yeah.
That went well. And then for the next time they were doing it, he bought her a tanning package.
I know exactly
to get into this character.
Uh-oh. He's into Snooki or something?
No, I know exactly where this is going.
So she was like, okay, that's fine. Free tan. Why not?
I'll get a spray tan, whatevs.
And then this was the straw where she hit me up and she was like, I don't know what to do because he wants her to get brown contacts. So he wants my very pale-skinned, blonde, blue-eyed friend to show up on these role-playing dates in a brunette wig with brown contacts and a very heavy tan.
Oh, absolutely not.
So looking totally different than what she looks like in real life.
Exactly.
And she's interpreting like, this is what he's attracted to.
Yes, because he does not want her. He wants this fake character that he has built up in his mind, which there are other alarm bells going off for me besides the fact that it is the opposite of what he's interested in. And she's like, I've been having fun role-playing, and our time on dates where I am myself is fantastic, but this is weird, and it's pushy, and he's ordering this stuff for me to wear, and it's making me feel like he isn't attracted to me. He wants me to be somebody else, maybe even not a white person, and I don't know how to deal with this, because that's cool if that's what you want, but I'm not going to play that character. It's one thing to pretend I don't know you at a bar. It's another to be somebody else completely.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah,
we might have ourselves a little gender difference here, because if we've agreed to role play, then we are going into this fantasy world, right? So as a guy, even though I think you're the hottest creature ever, why would I role play with somebody that looks like you if we're going into this fantasy world? I'm probably taking somebody that looks just the opposite of you.
Use your imagination. I feel like this was a two-way fantasy, and now it's a one-way fantasy.
Yeah, because you can role-play where someone's the maid, you know, and you can still look the same. You know, there are different, we're like the office boss and the intern, like stupid stuff like that. People who are a nurse and a patient. Like, there are different things you can play where you can look the same, but every single time, and it's getting more and more intense where she's not looking like herself at all. Like, she has short blonde hair, and now she has butt length, like, brown hair. Like,
that's what role play is.
I do think it's kind of a gender thing, because I understand what Bird is saying.
Okay. All right. All right, let's do, what could we do for, like, if she started ordering things on Amazon for him to wear? So if she got him a wig, you would wear a wig?
I'd wear a wig.
All right.
Yes.
She got you, like, faux facial hair to put on your face.
Yes.
So you have, like, a fake beard and a fake mustache.
Not mad at it.
You're not mad at that?
Uh-uh.
Not at all.
No, this is a fantasy.
It's a fantasy. Like, I mean, I don't know if you want your significant other to be the opposite of themselves, but to look a little different than you normally would, it feels like it fits into the fantasy.
I think that's what it is, though, because it's not just like a wig, like making her hair longer. It's everything opposite. So, Bert, for you, it would be a blonde wig, right? And like you would
Wouldn't
need to stay underground for 6 months and become super pale.
Wouldn't
like,
bother me. Now, if she said, and I also want you to wear the shoes that make you a foot taller, that's where I'm drawing the line.
Okay. So I don't know. For you guys, like, is this, I feel like we're going to be split along gender lines. Because at this point, I was like, girl, I think you need to ditch. Because even if you're like, I'm not comfortable with this, to me, it's giving, I want something else that's not you. And I'm not never going to be completely happy with you.
I think the only thing that really bothers me about this scenario is that because she said she's like getting a spray tan and stuff like that. So that is still there after the fantasy. Now she's changed her look in the real world.
Yeah.
Whereas if it just stayed there in the bar as this different person, then I got some wiggle room going on there.
I've put my finger on why it gives me the ick. It makes it feel like, for me, if my significant other was doing that, how it would affect me is that it feels like you're able to cheat on me without cheating on me.
Ooh.
Women are so complicated.
Man, that just went elevation.
You know what I mean? Like,
I feel never
like,
think that never. Way.
Like, so you want to have this fantasy with the woman, the complete opposite for me. So in a weird way, you're cheating on me with me.
No!
Yeah,
No.
If we're going to lean into the argument that this is a fantasy and we're going into a fantasy world where we all look different, then why did you not also want to live in a fantasy world where you also look different?
Yeah, he doesn't change at all.
Because that would be her responsibility to say to him, okay, if I'm going to do this, then my fantasy is you dressing up like Travis Kelce.
Oh,
now if he says no to that, then you have a problem.
Okay.
If she does ask for him to change, he's like, I ain't changing, then I can see how that would be an issue.
But then it would seem like you're just trying to have, like, you want to have an experience with a different person, and this is like your roundabout way of being with a different person, even though it's actually me. Then, and that feels like cheating, even though you're cheating on me with me.
Also, my understanding.
Save that.
Maybe it's just me and my limited knowledge of role playing. It feels like role playing is where you take on like a different role, not a different person.
Yes. Mm. Like, you know, it's what I mean? Still, like, me.
Yes.
It's me, but I'm a lawyer and I wear a high powered suit.
That's not the way I interpret role playing. No.
Well, how do you interpret role
playing? Well, I will also give this warning too, that some of us are so dumb that we don't know that the role playing is going on for the first couple of minutes if you don't tell us. That has happened to me. Like, the words didn't match up. Wait a second. You're not here to clean the house. What is going on here? What do you mean?
So you're saying if they had worn a wig and looked different, you would have gotten. You need
known.
The visual cues.
Right, but it was all just the words and it was an accent. And I'm like, wait a second. This isn't registered. Whoa, I get what you're doing.
Wow. You know, moment ruined.
I figured out the equivalent. It's like if you're dating someone, I'm going back to our fairy porn books, and they ask you to wear pointed ears and wings because it's their favorite character from one of the books. Are you doing it?
That changes things because it's a real character.
But the person in your head isn't real to you? Huh, okay.
Pointed ears, that wouldn't bother me at all.
I was like, I'm just happy to be getting laid here. Okay?
I would have fun being somebody else. It really wouldn't bother me. I don't get it.
Who elf Mo? I'm here for it.
They're not elves. They're fairies. Oh. They're high fae, Kristen.
It's the Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
We got an email from a Bert Show listener who, as I interpret this, is kind of in a mentor role in the office. And is wondering if she or he should be super honest with somebody that they are mentoring that just doesn't have the goods, the talent to be as good as they want to be, right? So the email reads like this, and you guys can get in on this if you want also. 1-855-BIRCHO. Hey, Bircho, how do I avoid breaking the heart of someone that has a dream? Let me explain. I've been in the fashion industry for a very long time, over 25 years. There is an entry-level woman in our office that has the best attitude about our industry. She is eager. She takes on every task with enthusiasm, and she is genuinely a very nice person. Problem is, she has zero eye for what we do for a living. She's task-oriented and is quite dependable, but as much as I try to teach her about our trade, I know that she'll never be anything except a poor designer. How do I break this to her? She looks up to me so much, and if I tell her the truth, it will crush her dream. I can't recommend her for jobs. How do I guide her away from being a designer while keeping her enthusiasm for our industry? 1-855-BIRCHO.
It's not your place to do that. I don't think it is your place to tell somebody that their dream's not worth pursuing. And your feelings may be completely valid. I mean, she may be absolutely horrible at picking out the right pillows for a room or a couch or whatever you guys do in your design industry. But I think you're really missing an opportunity to be a mentor to somebody who isn't jaded yet by the industry and wants to get better. I think it says more about you that you want to crush your dreams rather than look at yourself in the mirror and think, how can I be a better mentor for this person so I can make them the kind of designer that they want to be?
I agree. I feel like there are many of people who wasn't exactly great when they started. You don't have to be great when you start, but you have to start to be great. And who knows what time will do for her if she actually finds the right mentor and she has enough time to really perfect her craft. So if she doesn't cut it there at the job that she's at currently, then that's one thing to let her go and hope that she finds her way. But I don't think you have to completely shut down what she believes that she is good at.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't crush her dream. However, if she is not up to par yet, you can't jeopardize your you can't jeopardize your credibility by like giving her a reference for a job if you don't think she's capable for said job.
Right.
I would definitely not do that. Like, if she's wanting you to give references for like these other companies or other places and you know like she's not there yet, then by all means you need to be like, I don't think you're there yet.
Mm-hmm.
You need some more practice.
I would also suggest, as a mentor, guiding her in the direction in the industry that you know she's going to be good at. Let me give you guys an example of this. So our former intern and producer, Blake, who I love dearly, right? I felt like when Blake was doing morning radio, this wasn't really his forte, like coming on here and being vulnerable and sharing personal stories wasn't really, that's not his total strength. His strength was in announcing, and he wanted to be like Ryan Seacrest. And I'm like, that's what you should be doing, dude. Find something where you could be more of an announcer. And luckily enough, he did pursue that, and now he's doing great. He's a news anchor in Nashville. He's got these other TV stations all over the country looking at him now to hire him in bigger markets and stuff. So it's really worked out for him. But I think as a mentor, it's not your job to crush their dreams, but it's your job to sort of guide them.
Find their strengths.
Yeah, because I heard when I first started out in this industry, I was given a book about like finding your strengths, because you can combat your weaknesses all day, but if you don't focus on building your strengths, like, it doesn't even matter. So I think as a mentor, like you said, you've got to look at them and, you know, you can be real with them and you can be honest with them, and especially don't recommend them for jobs you don't think they're good for.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it doesn't hurt anybody to help them, but it absolutely is going to crush somebody's dreams, literally, as you're saying, to tell them that there's no future or hope for them.
Yeah, I've been on the other end of this also. I think I've told you guys when I was working in Dallas, and my mentor at the time and best friend, Kid Craddock, when he would go out, it was my job to try to run the point and host the show. And I got off the air one day doing that, feeling really good about it, because those were big shoes to fill. This guy was syndicated in like 80-something markets, right? So I get off the air one day thinking that we had a really good, at least a passable show, right? And the general manager, the highest person at the radio station, pulled me in and just said, hey, I just want to let you know that I'm not really sure hosting is really your strength. So I was crushed by that. Crushed. Now, I made it sort of a challenge. I didn't really believe her. But when you hear something like that, it's damning.
See, it's this weird dichotomy because there's something to making your haters your motivators, right? So if everybody always like blew smoke up my butt and told me how great I was going to be on air, I probably wouldn't be where I am now. It's the people that told me that this is not meant for you. I don't think like, I mean, because I remember a PD who said that I wasn't on air material. And I was like,
he might not have been wrong.
I know, right? We still got a couple more years to prove him right, right? And I was determined to prove him wrong. So, you want people to be supportive, but then there's also those naysayers that really give you the fuel mm-hmm. to go out and make the most of yourself.
Oh, yeah. I've never forgotten that conversation, and I've never forgotten her name. And every time, this show wins an award, I always think of her.
I'm curious, with the hindsight that you have now, having successfully hosted the show for 20-something years, do you think she was right when she pulled you into the office, or do you think she was just being an a-hole?
I think she was misguided. It was such a good show, and he was such a host that anybody that went in there and tried to fill his shoes, even for one day, it wasn't going to sound the same.
No.
And I think as a general manager, her experience wasn't on the performing side. It was on the money side. So while it stung because she was in the industry for so long, I just think I thought to myself, look, it's never going to sound like Craddock, so don't give yourself that kind of pressure and just keep doing what you're doing. Because it's the only thing that I could do. I had nothing else to fall back.
I remember my college basketball coach saying, which I thought was great advice. You have, in order to coach people, you have to know the difference between the players that you have to really be somewhat negative to just to get a little extra out of them, and the players that you have to pat on the back and always tell them that they're doing good. And I think in life, you should always lose your haters as a motivator.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're on the other end of it, you shouldn't always use your hate to motivate.
I'm letting that wash over.
Just let it breathe.
I'm letting it breathe like a fine wine. It's true. Kristen has said this because, as I've said before, I think once you get out of a relationship, especially if it's a serious relationship, and you feel that hurt, you start to look back and go, what is it I want? What is it I really want in a relationship? And I've said to you guys before that I wonder if I'm chasing something that just doesn't exist. A long-term relationship that is healthy. As Kristen says, meh. That's not what I'm not looking for, meh. I'm just looking for something not as dramatic, right?
Safe. You content has always been like a dirty word for you, but content does not mean complacent. It just means that you're in a safe, content. I don't know what other word to use there.
Peaceful.
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 Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Content is a really good word also. Just sitting in that contentment to me has always meant lazy.
Yes.
And I'm really changing that now, right? However, I still want there to be, I've got this idea that I want the next relationship that I'm in, if it lasts 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, I want that spark, that intoxication you have in the beginning, to last forever. And I don't know that it's possible. Kristen calls it exhausting.
Right? Well, for me, it's I personally, in my relationship, that would not be sustainable for me. And that would be I would be setting myself up to fail. There's no way I would be able to live up to that expectation of having that high intensity, lustful spark that Bart and I had when we first started dating. We have evolved over this. We've been together 17 years. We have evolved. And while we don't have that hot and heavy spark we did when we first started dating, we have something different. Our relationship has just evolved, and we have something deep. We have something meaningful because of everything we shared, the highs and the lows. We have a beautiful relationship. So that spark that you so desire in the beginning of a relationship and to sustain it, dude, more power to you. Kudos if you can do that. Kudos if you can figure it out. And if that's what you want, then by all means, that's not something I'm looking for in my relationship. I'm looking for something different.
Mo?
I'm a lot like you. I've always wondered if it was possible to keep that spark, or maybe even to reignite it at some point if you lose it. And I did not think it was possible. I thought it was just kind of a natural pace for the course to lose it. But I met this couple once on vacation, and they were celebrating their 40th anniversary. And I remember hanging out with them for an entire day, and they still had it. I mean, the way they looked at each other, the way they still held hands, the way they were excited to plan their upcoming vacations, even the way they talked about each other and told stories about each other. You could certainly see that in that 40 years, whatever they that got them there, they kept it the entire time. So that made me feel like it is possible. I just don't know what the equation is to keeping it.
Hey, my husband grabbed my boob yesterday.
He did.
He did. All
right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Spicy.
Spark it up.
Go yes. Bark. Right? Yes. Get it. Standing in the kitchen.
But was it like a honk honk? Like a
No, it wasn't a honk honk.
Okay. Because you guys could be like that couple.
Oh no, we're totally cool. I love to poke him in the butt. I check his oil all the time.
But this was a romantic one where he's just a little ant on.
Yeah, just a little as he was passing by, just a little grab. I get upset if we're in the kitchen and my butt is like right there for like right for the taking and he doesn't take advantage of it.
Right.
So yeah. I get ass grabs all the time.
I couldn't Spicy. Even do one because I got OCD. So you gotta like do both.
Oh, you did. You gotta even them out.
Yeah. Yes, that's the thing.
Both hands is a lot of work. My right hand's so lazy.
See, that's the spark.
My left hand is ambitious. And I'm wondering, you know, and I'm just throwing stuff against the wall here to try to figure out how to keep a spark. And one of the things I came up with you guys is like maybe never living together. So when she always walks in the door, man, I haven't seen her in a couple of days. Damn, I've missed you, right? So then I get this Instagram message from somebody saying that chasing the spark is for sure absolutely the wrong way to go if you're looking at a healthy relationship.
If you're chasing a spark, you're going to be single for a lot longer than you want to be, or you'll be in a really relationship because of the spark. The spark does not mean compatibility. All that just means is that there could be some kind of chemistry, or maybe your nervous system is feeling dysregulated, because if you're used to dating narcissists and you meet a guy that comes on super strong and he's amazing and you feel all of these butterflies, oftentimes it's because your nervous system is saying, ooh, this sounds familiar. And then what happens is you are perpetually chasing a feeling. Just because you go on a date, if you don't feel a spark, then what you're doing is you're chasing a specific feeling that this person is giving you. You're not actually getting to know them for who they are and seeing if you genuinely like them. And chasing that spark is a perpetual chase. You're always going to be chasing that high and that feeling. And the reality is, when you get into a relationship that is secure and safe, you don't have those intense peaks. You don't have those highs and lows. You're not feeling the butterflies and all of this every time they text you, because they're consistent and they're reciprocal, and your nervous system doesn't feel like you're in danger or unsafe. Your nervous system feels comfortable. That's often why a healthy can equal boring, because you're so not used to feeling so calm with somebody and want those highs and lows. So when you're chasing that spark and that feeling, you're just looking for the feeling, not for the actual connection. I'm not saying that if you go out with somebody and you can't stand them or don't want to be around them, that you should continue dating them. But what I am saying is, if you are always chasing a feeling and then you date somebody and the spark goes away and you can't seem to get it back, that's because welcome to being a human. You can't always be after a feeling, because that's not sustainable.
Damn her.
That is solid.
Ooh. I know. Ooh-wee. Dang it.
So how did that make you feel?
That would be lonely for a very long time. That's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
All right, our producer Amber was telling us a while back that she wasn't happy about her body image, and she was going to start doing some stuff about it.
Yes, I have been dealing with hating my body for a long time. But recently I did notice a change, a good one. I did notice a change, but the way that I realized it is super embarrassing. So I was sitting outside with my best friend, Wesley. You've all met him at the time. And we were just having a deep conversation. And we were talking about, honestly, at the time, we were talking about like what I was going to do to lose weight and all that stuff. And he was like, well, what about Mo? You said you were going to ask him. I said, I did. But I've honestly been putting it off a little bit, because I look up to Mo. And when I'm trying to work out, is a very, what's the word? Starts with a V. I'm very vulnerable at that time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm still going to hit you up.
I'm waiting on you.
I'm just mentally
trying. I ain't going to put no pressure on you, though.
Yeah. And so we were talking about that. There were times where I'm like looking in the mirror and I'm like, oh, I just do not like what I'm seeing, you know? And I have been working out. I've been using the gym that we have here. Okay. I've been doing my Thrill the Fight boxing VR stuff, doing all those sort of things. And I think it's something that a lot of people can actually understand what I'm feeling, whether you feel you're overweight or you feel you're too thin or whatever your body image is that you're unhappy with. And so when I was sitting there talking to Wesley on our patio about it, I was viciously attacked by some sort of insect that bites or stings. I don't even know what it was. And it stung me right on my upper thigh. And I was trying to see it. And I was like, what the hell is that? You know? And so I see the bite and I'm like, wow, that's crazy. And then I just started laughing. And Wes was like, what is so funny? And I was like, I can see this mosquito bite. And he's like, what do you mean you can see the mosquito bite? He goes, Wes. I was like, Wes, this is the first time I've seen my upper thigh in years. I lost weight because I didn't have to move my boobs to the side or my stomach to the side. I just looked down and I was like, holy crap.
Look at that. Who would have thought?
Oh, well, that's great news. I mean, so does that motivate you to continue on whatever journey it is you're on right now?
It is. I'm going to tell you, Mo, I need to work on my thighs now that I can see them. We got to get those going.
Okay, now we know where they at. We're going to get them right.
She has confirmed she has thighs.
Yes. And I just want you to know, I am absolutely not going to judge you. I am not going to think of anything that, like, don't overthink it. Don't be in your head about it. You have to start somewhere. That's always the problem, I think, that holds people back is that first day, that second day. But you got to start somewhere. Everybody that you look at that's in the shape that they want to be in or that are getting there, they had to start somewhere, too.
Exactly. You know, I said this before, too, when I see people in the gym. And, you know, I've been a gym rat my entire life, right? So this is sort of my lane. So I can tell sort of the noobs that are in the gym and the ones that come in there that are insecure about being on the equipment because they're not quite sure how, like, they work and stuff like that. But I can assure you that most people in that gym either, A, know that you're a noob and they are not judging you that way at all, or the ones that go every day know how difficult that discipline is and they admire you for just being there. It is – at least the gyms I've been to don't look down upon people that are just starting to work out for the first time. But there are some meathead gyms that you go into and they will judge you. Like, you got to be in great shape to go into that gym. I don't think Moses is one of them.
Yeah, definitely. I don't even go in those gyms. No, but he's right. You most people believe that when you go into a gym, the people who are putting in the work every day are going to judge you. But most of us are proud that you are actually starting that journey because it takes a lot of discipline and it's not easy. And people who do it all the time know that. So, no, please don't be – you can be vulnerable. That's fine. But don't think that I'm judging you or I'm going to put any extra pressure on you. Not at all.
I respect that. Thank you so much. And for those of you listening here going through the same thing, I'm going to give you the same advice that my mother gave me. Stop being so hard on yourself and stop hating on my friend. Stop hating on my daughter. I think you said that too.
It all really starts with just like one workout, just one step doing it. And then it becomes sort of contagious. And I know you're joking about your bug bite and your thigh, but that is a win right there.
Absolutely.
And when you start to get those little itty-bitty wins, it motivates you to keep going back.
It does.
So keep going. All you got to do is keep walking in there and keep doing it.
I immediately did 3 squats after I saw my thigh.
Look at you. You'll be doing 4 tomorrow. Yes.
Should we make a definite like commitment day here where you approach Mo and say, okay, today is deadline day?
All right, yes. Mo, I'm going to talk to you after the show.
Oh, you're really committing, huh?
Yeah.
My first deadline is talking to you after the show.
Yeah.
I'm going to commit to talking about the commitment.
Yeah, I was going to say, we have a deadline to talk about the deadline. Yes. Okay. Right.
Just do it the first time.
The Burt Show.
Okay, let's stick with this theme of finding a situation that works for you. Let me run one by you, okay? So I think when you go through a breakup, it's natural to start asking yourself, what is it you really want? What really fits you when it comes to a long-term relationship, right? So I've been doing a lot of thinking. And here is what I really believe in my heart. But I wonder if it's even possible. And maybe there is a couple out there doing this right now. But I think I might be a unicorn and I might be alone for the rest of my life if I can't find her. And it's this. Marriage does not scare me at all. Living together does not do anything for me. Is it possible to be married? I mean, if there aren't kids involved, right? Because I think once kids enter the picture, then it's a different formula. But is it possible to be married or to be in a long-term relationship and never live together? 1-855-VIRTUAL. Like, because I kind of feel like, and I was reading this list online that I'm going to plan on breaking out for you guys next week, is like the 5 things that keep guys from getting married or staying in long-term relationships. And one of them really struck a chord with me. And that is like sort of like the spark goes away, right? It just kind of goes away. And I'm wondering if sometimes if that happens with me in relationships, it's because we're living together and it's so routine that the newness of it just kind of wears off. And I'm the kind of person that just needs like to want to miss somebody in order to be in a healthy relationship.
See, I think it's your mindset, right? And cohabitation is, it's strengthened our relationship. It, for me, it's not that the spark goes away. The spark evolves and it turns into a deeper roaring fire the more you are with somebody, and it takes on different forms.
I have not experienced it the same way you have.
Gotcha.
It certainly does get deeper. And then when you have kids, but now I'm talking about a situation where you don't have kids.
Yes.
But I would not say that it becomes a roaring fire.
Okay. Well,
I would say it's a roaring fire in between, in the beginning, and then it slowly starts to become so routine that it's just an ember.
Okay. But it's still burning.
Yeah.
But it just burns differently.
Right.
And so for me, I can say with sincerity that like my husband and I don't have the same spark that we did when we first started dating. Like I remember that hot and heavy and intoxicating and, you know, all that. But speaking for myself, I'm intoxicated with him in a different way.
So, okay, you and I are different here. So here's what I'm wondering, and I'm wondering if this is even a possibility. To be in a long-term relationship where you have that intoxication period you're talking about,
uh-huh.
that wild kind of lust and love for each other,
mm-hmm.
and it can be maintained like that over 20 years of time. And I don't think that can work if you're living together.
I don't think I'd want that.
No?
No. That sounds exhausting. And that's a lot of sex.
Maybe this is where we differ.
Very much. I think I'm a unicorn like you, Bert, in that regard. I've every girl I've dated, I've brought that up as a possibility in the future. And they've all thought I was crazy. But
not living together?
Yes. Like my uncle, he's been married for 11 years and they have two different homes. And I think one of the reasons it works for them is because they both had marriages prior that didn't work out for the same reason. So they've kind of just kept their homes. And they've been happily married for 11 years like that, living in two completely different homes. And everybody thinks that they're crazy, but
yep.
I think it works for them. And I see nothing wrong with it because for me, I value the time I don't spend with my partner because I want to miss you. I like appreciate missing you.
I think it's so hard to find two people that have the similar mindset there when it comes to space.
Because
I've known like three couples that have also done that and they're so happy. So happy because they're so alike in their need for space.
And if that works for you, fantastic. That's nah.
Don't work for you.
No.
Hey, Shelby, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show. Hi.
Hey, how are y'all?
Good. Thank you.
So my landlord, actually, him and his wife, I think they were both on their second marriage when they got together. And they both had rental properties of their own. And they had their own properties. And when they got married, they never lived together. They just, they spend the night with each other here and there, but they don't live with each other.
And it's worked.
And, yeah, for like 30 years, I think.
Okay. That's a pretty nice run.
It is.
That's a real nice run. Here is Lisa to say, that's not even marriage. Hey, Lisa, good morning. You're on the Burt Show. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I say no, because when you're married, you come together as one. So you're not coming together as one if you're residing in two different properties. I think people who do that, they just got married for legal purposes. But in the institution of what marriage represents, no, you're not really married if you are sleeping in two beds and have two separate lives at two different properties. So I say, no, that's not marriage.
You're doing like marriage light.
I don't know. I still think you can be one. You just don't have to be with each other for 7 days a week.
Exactly. Like marriage maybe means different things to different people, but I don't know. If being one means we are literally one person for the rest of my life, I don't want to sign up for that. I don't.
Now, have you discussed this with the lady that you're seeing right now?
Yep.
And is she down?
Nope.
There are plenty of people here that are doing it successfully. Good morning. Abby, you're on the Burt Show. Hi.
Hey, good morning. So I've been married to my husband for 10 years. He got a job and it moved him all the way to Seattle. We are in Atlanta. For 3.5 years, those were the best years of our marriage. He came back. He's been back for, I guess, 2 years. It's been very different because we noticed that we both need our space. I work in the hotel industry, so I will go and stay downtown for like a couple of days. And then we meet back up. But like we noticed we need our space. So now we are turning our basement into my apartment.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. I'm mad at it.
All right. I mean, look at all these calls. Married seven different times. Okay, I'm not take that one. We spend 18 days a month apart. Things are great. My uncle did this. Yes, gotta be. My aunt's going on 33 years of marriage, never lived together, so I guess it's possible. But absolutely, to find two sure people with the same mindset, that's the difficult part.
That's tough.
It's The Burt Show. The Burt Show.